This morning, I call your attention to two verses of Scripture. Our first passage of Scripture this morning is in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16. Every preacher in the world, I suppose, sooner or later, has preached from this passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16. Now if you'll turn with me to a second portion of the Word of God, and that is Colossians 1 and verse 27. Colossians 1 and verse 27. Where the Apostle Paul again says, I to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1, verse 27. Each one of these verses speaks about a subject, and it's about the great mystery, the great mystery that we have in the Word of God. The mystery that is upon this land today in Christendom and throughout the entire world is not a mystery to those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the great mystery that Paul speaks of is the enlightenment of the Word of God to the hearts of all those who believe. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory. This glory that Paul speaks of is this great enlightenment. When we begin to talk about the mysteries of the Word of God and the mysteries of the Scriptures, to the natural mind, it is beyond them to understand. This morning, we're going to talk about those mysteries that are introduced in the Word of God. These Scriptures is an introduction to my message this morning. The gospel is the mystery of mysteries. Christ is himself the great mystery of redemption. It is the majestic secret of God with us. It is the glorious manifestation of God dealing with mankind. The Holy Spirit takes the revealed Word of God and illuminates us individually. We are made gloriously wealthy by this mystery. Without controversy, the Apostle Paul says, without controversy, that great mysteries of godliness. What is he speaking about? He's speaking about God was made flesh. God was made flesh. Even the child of God has looked upon this subject and asked themselves, how is it so? How is it possible that a Christ holy God could become man and partake of the things of a human? But this is the real problem in our minds and hearts throughout the land today. Without the help of God, without the Spirit of God, we will never understand this subject. This subject of the unity of the God-man, God and man being brought together for our own benefit. The Lord Jesus Christ is crowned with glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the brightness of the Father's glory. We have unsearchable riches in Christ because Paul said, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When we look at our faith this morning, we look to only one person. We look to only one person for every answer for our heart, and that is in the person of Jesus Christ. Without the enlightenment of the Spirit of God opening up the heart and revealing this precious truth to us, we are as baffled as the natural man is this morning. When we come to know the things of God and desire to know those precious secrets of our Heavenly Father, the only way that we will know those things is to bow our head, bow our knee, and trust God through the reading of His Word concerning His Son. Within Christ, we have all of the answers this morning. As Spurgeon noted, oh, the riches of the grace of God, which has been placed the Father to impart unto us in Christ Jesus. Christ is the mystery, the riches, and the glory. He is all this. He is all among us poor Gentiles. And we are made the heirs of God. All things are ours in Christ our Lord. Let's go back 2,000 years. Let's go into the temple and let us talk to the scribes and the Pharisees. As a Gentile, you would never make your way that far. But if it was possible for a Gentile to go into that special court of the temple and ask the scribes and the Pharisees, what is it about these things? And you talk to them about Christ and being made equal and to be, as a Gentile, being partakers of this great spirit and knowledge of God, they would say, out, out. You have no right. You have no pedigree to know the things of God because you are not of Abraham. You're not of the blood of Abraham. You are not a Jew. Therefore, you cannot know. But we can know. As a Gentile, we can know God. We can know the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And He is our secret. He is the key that opens the heart of belief and causes us to see God fresh in the very face of Almighty God. This morning it is my intentions to speak on the mysteries of Christ. Every child of God has a hope. It is the confidence that God has placed in our heart. It's something that doesn't come through the natural means or education, but it is placed by the Spirit of God. It's the light that guides us through the darkness of this world and the loneliness in serving our Lord. Yes, even the child of God will become lonely in this world. And His strength will come from only one place, and that is the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Paul is speaking in his writings in the book of Timothy and Colossians. His letter is going out to those who believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in a church this morning, an organized church. This is a Baptist church, and I'm happy to be called a Baptist because of the historical faith that Baptists had believed. But my faith this morning is outside of being a Baptist. My faith is outside of this sanctuary this morning. And if I might say, and I ask your indulgence this morning, my faith is apart from the fellowship even of you here this morning. And the fellowship that you enjoy this morning is the fellowship that you have between you and the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Never think for a moment that we can receive from the Lord Jesus Christ anything from this world other than from Christ Himself. It has dawned on me recently about my hope. The faith that is within myself. And what a comfort it is that regardless of how dark the days may become, and we look at our past and we think, I'm sure glad that one is over. We never know what tomorrow is going to bring. But the faith that has secured us and brought us through the past will be the same faith that will secure our walk and pilgrimage to the very end. Our faith accompanies us. And that our faith is what we lean upon in this life. And it will be the same faith that will lead you and take you to the very end of that hour in which we will, our eyes will close and we will depart from this life. Hallelujah. When we see the very face of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a wonderful experience it will be to close our eyes in this darkness of this light and to open them and see the very face of God in Jesus Christ. Though that's not today, though that's not this moment, but yet we can enjoy and partake of such joy and peace even before we reach that point of leaving this life and being in presence with our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the message this morning. Partaking of the riches and the glory of Almighty God in this life, in believing and trusting, relying upon our faith in Jesus Christ, knowing that He has gone all the way for me. And that regardless of what I've done and what shall happen in my life, He has bore my sins. He has carried my load. He has delivered me before God. And that was so upon the cross. But I can never forget, the fact that He has done so before the foundation of the world. We have a great, wonderful subject called eternal justification. There is a truth in the Word of God that before the foundation of the world that we were justified because of the coming work and satisfaction of Jesus Christ upon the cross. But there is a day. There is a wonderful day that all that Christ has done in this life will continue on throughout all eternity. The glory of God is about us. The glory of God is in us in this hour because we possess the very Spirit of Christ. We possess the very knowledge of God in Christ Jesus within our heart that lifts us up and causes us to believe and trust His holy word. The first mystery that I call your attention to this morning is the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our pastor spoke on the incarnation not long ago. The incarnation of Christ is a deep mystery. It was born in the unsearchable wise mind of God. The idea of Emmanuel escapes us. God with us. God being within a man. God with us. When Jesus walked, He walked as Almighty God upon the shores. As He spoke and as He preached, Almighty God spoke in His own person. God with us was conceived in the omnipotent and omniscient mind of God. Every regenerate mind delights in this vital union with God and man. this is wonderful. This is glorious. It's glorious to know that the one that we serve is not dead. One that we serve is alive and shall be for all times. He is truly the God-man who lived and served us and died for our sins. The Apostle Paul tells us this mystery. Our Lord is still God and man. Still, he can sympathize with us. And he bore our sins. He is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. And yet, he can help us without limit, seeing he is equal with God. This is the great truth. This is a wonderful, wonderful truth. I suppose that we could preach forever on the incarnation of our Lord. Because the incarnation, and this is the Christmas season. This is the time that we think of the Christ child coming into the world. But the world doesn't see the Christ child as a living Lord, as a living God among us. The second great mystery that I would like for you to think about this morning is the death of Christ. This is truly a great mystery. Since the incarnation, it is a great mystery. We are ever reminded of the great mysteries of his death too. When we start thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ dying for our sins, he is the only one that has ever died for his people. Muhammad did not die for his people. And all of the false prophets who sprang up other religions, none of them ever died for their people. And also, they never rose from the dead, that we will get into in just a moment. Paul said he humbled himself and became a servant and died as a substitute on the cross. He bore our terrible load of sin on the cross that we might never bear the Father's righteous wrath. He took the cup of wrath that we ought to have drank. He drank it. And one commentator said that he drank all of it. He drank all of the wrath of God that was due us, and as we are made free because of it. He bore our punishment in his death. Peter said, by his stripes, we are healed. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made curse for us. Moreover, he was made everything right and safe for us with God the Father by making an end of sin at an everlasting righteousness on the behalf of the Father. He finished work of Christ. The finished work of Jesus Christ is the grand mystery. Jesus Christ is all our righteousness. He is all our salvation and all of our desire. The child of God has a different frame of mind this morning than those outside of our Lord. Our minds and hearts are centered constantly upon his finished work. The world looks upon the death of Christ as something as in history that happened, but it doesn't benefit them in any way. It is only in a way of reference. But as a child of God, it takes part. It takes hope to our life and our soul. The third mystery that I want you to speak of this morning is the resurrection and the ascension of Christ as the great mystery. On the other hand, since he is the second person of the Godhead, the Son of God, the eternal Word of God, should we be at least surprised that he should rise from the dead? No other man has rose from the dead like our Lord Jesus Christ. It is our satisfaction today that our Lord died and rose again. He rose again for the satisfaction of all those that he died for. As sure as our Lord rose from the tomb, so we shall rise again from our graves and be united with Him in heaven. This is the promise of Christianity. This is a promise of what our Lord teaches us today. As He is dead, Paul said, as He is ahead of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn among the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the head of all of our faith that we are. He's the head of our church. When we speak of the church, sometimes our minds are drawn to the building, to the brick and the mortar, the organization of the church. But as the Scripture speaks of the church, it generally speaks of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have been called, those who have been saved, those who have been brought to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He overcame death and passed to a sovereign throne at the right hand of the Father in heaven, where He reigns as a living Lord. He has overcome death. He is alive. It's not enough that our Lord would die for us. It's not enough that our Lord would be raised for us. It is that our Lord died and rose, and He liveth, ever liveth, as Paul said in 7:25 in Hebrews, that He ever liveth to make intercession for us. This is a great, wonderful story. It's a great mystery that is known of the people of Almighty God. Every believer has stamped on him these words, made in Christ. Every child of God is the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have taken upon ourselves the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do not have the power of Almighty God, but we take upon the Spirit and the likeness of our Heavenly Father. And therefore, this is a wonderful thing. But the greatest miracle this morning, the greatest miracle that I know of, is that Christ is in you. Christ is in you. This is the greatest mystery. The world looks upon the incarnation and they say it's impossible. We look upon the virgin birth and they say this is impossible. They look upon the death of Christ and they say it's irrelevant. It's not of any great of importance. And they look upon the resurrection. Don't believe that either. But there's one thing that the world looks upon and they are astonished. And that is the life of the child of God. The life of the child of God is different. And regardless of what they may say about us and what they may say about you, that is something that is distinguishable in the minds of the lost. This week, there was a picture that came out of a man who would not deny the Lord and would not accept Muhammad. He would not deny his faith and accept being a Muslim. And what they were going to do, they were going to hang him. And there he was with his hands strapped to his side. And there was a sense of peace upon his face. There was a smile upon his face. For in that moment, he found the greatest strength of all time at the time of his death. Because his faith was in Christ and Christ alone. And this world had nothing to give him at that point. But Christ had everything for him. Christ had everything for him. And he willingly went to his death knowing his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you that story this morning. I don't know this man. I don't know his name. I don't know what city he lived in, but I only saw the picture. And I relate this story to you to reflect what I'm trying to say. Our life is about Christ. Our life is about our faith in God. And that faith in God is the light of the world that is within each of you this morning. Regardless of what happens to us in the future, it is all about our Lord Jesus Christ. This faith that you enjoy today is a great, wonderful mystery. But it's only a mystery to those that believe not. So today, in this Christmas season, I ask you to think for a moment about your faith and the hope that is within you this morning. That hope and that faith is a sustaining element within your life and in your soul. May God bless you this morning.